Please remain standing for our scripture lesson out of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you for your prayers and your support as we embark upon another attempt to share the word of God with you. But before we do this, let us ask our Lord to direct our ways. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, this lovely fall day, Lord, that we can gather and hear your word and your truth. And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O our rock and our redeemer. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Before we get to the text today, which is Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20, let's look at some overall points of the book of Ephesians and even some things about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul penned the book of Ephesians around the year 60 to 62 A.D., probably while Paul was in prison in Rome. Some say he may even have written up to three letters in that same day. Some say these letters were a sort of what today we would call a form letter. Others say otherwise, that no, it's not a form letter. Just depends on which commentary you are reading. I would venture to say that these letters do have some similarities, but not all exact, like a form letter. In our Sunday evening stimulus class, we are looking at the life and theology of Paul. It's pretty fascinating. Did you know that without the writings of Paul, the fundamental Christian doctrines of the Bible would be a lot tougher to grasp? Pretty cool how the Lord worked in Paul's life when he was on that Damascus road, headed to round up Christians to bring them to justice. Although at this time in Saul's life, he thought he was doing the work of God. However, on that road, just before he arrived in Damascus, a great light shone around him, and he fell to the ground and soon heard this voice say, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Saul asked, "Who are you, Lord?" Not realizing it really was the Lord. The voice says, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Most of us know the rest of the story found in Acts chapter 9. Even though he had his eyes open, he could not see for 3 days. It was the beginning of a new man. The man Paul. Now let's look at some highlights of the book of Ephesians. This epistle of Ephesians helps us to understand the critical doctrine of union with Christ. The importance of this doctrine is evident from the opening verses of the book. Chapter 1, verse 3. It is in Christ that the Father has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. And that in whom He chose us before the foundation of the world and predestined us for adoption. Also in verse 11 of chapter 1, in Christ we have obtained an inheritance. Verse 13, and in Him you and I were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 14 has played a long and crucial role in Reformed tradition's understanding of the gospel. It is a concise and at the same time a comprehensive statement of the gospel that gives expression to the distinctly Reformed approach to the doctrines of grace. In this letter, Paul particularly emphasizes Christ as raised from the dead, as well as our union with Christ in His resurrection. That very same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead made us alive together with Christ. Chapter 2, verses 5, presently indwells in us. Paul's point is plain. In Christ and by the Spirit of the risen Christ, believers, you and I, have all the resources we need to walk with the God of this age. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says, you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world. And, of course, we can't skip chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, one of the most concise and complete presentations of the doctrine of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, that can be found in Scripture. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this, not of your own doing, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's really hard to understand how people can get around these verses and think they actually have something to do with their salvation. Can't really do too much when you're dead. In the third chapter, Paul reveals the mystery to the Gentiles that they too are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the same promise in Christ through the gospel. Also, the purpose of the mystery, which allows Paul to teach and preach to all the unsearchable riches of Christ. Also, the appreciation of the mystery. Paul bows the knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all may know the love of Christ. In chapter 4, Paul talks about the good works, or the walk, the believers have because of unity of peace one has with Christ. Also, the grace and the talents each one has to use them to the glory of God. Whatever those talents may be, the different callings, the equipping of the saints in all aspects of the ministry, he refers the new life one has as that we are to no longer to walk in the ways of the unbeliever. Putting away falsehoods, speaking truth to one another, building one another up, slow to anger, and putting away all bitterness and wrath, being kind and forgiving to all. In chapter 5, he speaks of being imitators of God as beloved children. Love others because Christ loved us and gave Himself for us. Sexual immorality, impurity, filthiness, idolatry, covetous, has no place in our lives. Be not deceived, or deceive no one. Walk as children of light, not darkness, and even expose those in darkness. Be wise, not foolish. Not being drunk with wine, but filled with the Spirit. Then there's that most misunderstood area about wives submitting to their husbands and husbands as head of the household, loving their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Very key statement here. Then how a man is to leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Love your spouse as yourself and respect one another. The first half of chapter 6 doesn't leave the children out. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, that it may go well with you. Keep in mind in this era that there were slaves and bondservants. They were to be obedient to their masters, and the masters were to treat them with respect, especially the ones who were believers. In summary, Paul is encouraging the believers in Ephesus. He's reminding them of the things they need to do. It's just like us today. We have to keep coming to church each week, hearing the Word of God, reading the Word of God, growing to be more like Jesus. It's all part of the sanctification process. Now, as we've heard a little bit about the Apostle Paul and the highlights of the book of Ephesians, we come to the end of the book, principally the last half of chapter 6. It's encouragement and a warning for those believers in Ephesus, as well as Colossae, Philippi, and Corinth, and all the other places Paul's journeys took him, even to all the parts of the world. I believe it still applies to us today, maybe even more so, right here at Redeemer Presbyterian Church in Peoria County. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. I'll put a little very simple doctrine to this passage that would be trust in God as we do things in our everyday lives. We use our God-given abilities from the wisdom gained from the Scriptures, from hearing and reading the Word, to raise and to teach our children, to plan for our futures, to do our jobs, in whatever place and time God has us. The Ten Commandments, the Beatitudes, the Psalms and Proverbs, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching. These things help us to have the wisdom we need to live, to make decisions, to be good citizens in the kingdom of God. All with a lot of grace and mercy from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at the text. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Okay, why does Paul say finally? Well, one might say that after all of the encouragement to them, he's reminding them to be on guard. Don't become lackadaisical. He's reminding them not to forget where their strength comes from. Be powerful, but be powerful in the Lord Jesus Christ. One commentator says, Christians dare never be weaklings. Those joined to the Lord have their inexhaustible source of power, who himself is filled with strength and might, the stronger one who conquered the strong one. That comes from Luke 11, 21 and 22. By virtue of his new life, The Christian has a certain amount of power, but this power needs constant augmentation. We secure this increase through the union, through our union with Christ. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Put it on. Put it on seems to be the directive here. Don't forget anything. Put it all on, the whole armor. Christ is God's full metal jacket, without which our defense is no good if we don't use it. The saying, be ready in season and out of season, applies here. The devil is always prowling around, just waiting for the right opportune time. If our guard is down, we are vulnerable to be his prey. Verse 13 tells us we must withstand the evil day. If you think about it, the days are pretty evil. This is why we need the whole armor, that being Jesus Christ, to deal with the schemes or expert methods of the devil. Verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. What Paul is referring to when he says we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, or some say blood and flesh, in most cases he's not talking about a man-to-man battle. Although with what's going on now, there are rumblings of that sort of thing. More on that later. We war against the powers and principles and spiritual forces of darkness. The world, or Babylon, those outside of Christ, those who hate us, and the things of Christ that they hate. Remember that we are in the world, not of it. We're dealing with those evil spiritual forces, the darkness of the world. Remember what Pastor Mark said just last week. For in this world you will have tribulation, but fear not, I have overcome the world. That doesn't give us an out, though. We have to keep our guard up and our armor handy. Verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Again, Paul's emphasis here is readiness. Always have our minds sharp and quick. Being able to stand firm, knowing you have done all that you can to withstand the fiery darts of the world. Have you done all you can? Are you ready? We've all heard of the frog in the pot. This is where you take a frog, you put him in a pan of cool water, put it on the stove, and turn the burner on. As the water heats up, the frog will adjust to the temp and not realize that he is being cooked until it's too late. Let's keep that in mind. Verses 14 and 15. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Stand, therefore, strong in the armament of Christ, which is encouragement, because you are ready, willing, and able. You have the belt of truth on your side. You have the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, so to speak. You have your walking in the Spirit shoes on, and you are ready. Why? because we are armed with the gospel. Amen. Verses 16 through 20. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all of the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me, opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Have you ever felt comfortable in your own clothes? Boys and men, maybe you played sports. Football, you had all your pads and your pants and your shoulder pads and your helmet. Baseball, your glove and your spikes, your uniform. You're ready to hit the field, whatever the sport is. Maybe you were in the service. You had your fatigues, your combat boots, your weapon, and your helmet. Maybe it's just your best suit. Ladies and girls, same for you. Some uniform or your favorite dress or outfit. Even sitting in your car, seatbelt buckled, you feel comfortable in yourself, safe. We've all had this experience. Maybe we feel invincible. Such a good feeling, huh? Paul himself is probably not feeling this feeling. He's chained to a Roman guard in prison while writing these letters. But his faith is strong in the Lord, reminding the Ephesians to be ready with the helmet, the sword, and the breastplate of righteousness, praying at all times for all the saints, proclaiming the gospel boldly, all the while staying alert, this ambassador in chains. This was Paul's ministry, and it should be ours as well. Now let's do some more application and see if we are still doing the things the Apostle Paul warns the Ephesians about. Remember, we said that in this world you will have tribulation. Tribulation can mean a lot of different things. Ours may not be as bad as some others. Some believers are beaten or even martyred for their faith. Some have to stay hidden, so to speak. Our tribulation hasn't gotten that bad, though. Some of us are old enough. We have lived through good and bad governments or authorities and powers in cyclical fashion. But, dears, the enemy is getting very bold of late. Remember the frog analogy? Are we becoming lackadaisical? The Apostle Paul loved the people he ministered to at all the towns he journeyed to. He was also unapologetic about warning his people in regards to sin. The church today also should have the same love for their membership, being good shepherds and guarding their flock. Ephesians wasn't the only place that Paul had given warnings. Let's read a verse from Colossians 2, verse 8, where Paul says, See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human traditions, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Beloved, our enemy is in our higher educational institutions, in our high schools, and even in our elementary schools. And would you believe it? It's even in our churches. Our enemy is in the media and big tech. Our enemy is in our corporations and financial institutions, even our Department of Justice, every aspect of our lives. You may ask, what are they doing? Well, one thing they are doing is dividing. They're pitting one group against the other. They are pushing an agenda that is totally against the gospel of Christ, against the Word of God, against the family of God. There are a few elites in this world with so much money. They are involved in controlling every aspect of the things we do on a daily, weekly, and a monthly basis. It's a web of control, so to speak. It's all about control, power, and the love of more money. You may ask how it happened. Have you ever heard how to eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Remember the schemes or expert methods of the devil. There's he, the devil, has been defeated, but he is still out there doing much damage. What are we to do, you might ask? Remember back in chapter 5, he says to expose those in darkness. One thing for sure we must not do is nothing. Because that is what a lot of us have been doing for many years to get to this point. Ignoring the problem, or maybe even being aware there was a problem. Hence the frog. Remember what Paul was doing here in Ephesians, warning them to be ready? That same warning applies to us today. We have to expose them. Turn the rocks and logs over and expose them to the light of the gospel and the truth of the scriptures. Remember in verse 13, having done all, even with the two-edged sword, some may be drawn to the gospel, but others may perish in hell. Also in verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. We have to turn off the burner that's heating the frog. And we have to start eating the elephant one bite at a time. We must fight and persevere. Be bold in bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost world. Don't forget, we have God and His armor on our side. We wear Christ, God's full metal jacket. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we do thank you, Lord, for the gospel of Ephesians, the epistle of Ephesians, and the Apostle Paul, and all of the good words that he brought us, Lord, through the epistles and all of his writings. So, Father, we just give you the glory and the honor and the power, Lord, that you give us the strength, the full armor of God, Lord, that you give through your word and your truth. And, Father, we just want to honor you this day and each day, Lord, that you give us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.